Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? This is Wardell Potts Jr. and Phoenix for Solar Records Radio, and we just want to give you a warm welcome to the show. We hope you are blessed where you are, and God has been good to you. We pray that God has been good to you, and all is well in your life, with your family, and your friends. Also, we want to give a shout-out to our friends, the listeners all over the globe, to my friends down in South Africa. What's going on in South Africa? It is hot. Wow, it's going into the summer there where it's freezing everywhere else, you know. So enjoy, you guys, this summer, and God bless you, and thank you so much for, you know, for listening to Solar Records Radio. To our friends in the UK, what's up, Greg, what's up? And to Astrid over in Amsterdam, what's going on, sweetie pie? And Tiffany, what's happening, Tiffany? How you doing, sweetie? You're in the UK as well. And then we got people, our friends here, Julianne over in, I was about to say Denver, but she's on the East Coast, she's in Detroit. What's up, Julianne? Much love, sweetheart. And Kimberly over in Los Angeles, much love. Just everybody here in the United States. And Phoenix and I are both in Texas. So, what's up, Phoenix? How you doing, my brother?
All is good. All is good. Enjoying the grass and greenery of Texas. It's a lot of rain and everything is flourishing and bright and cheerful. I love it.
Amen. Amen, man. Well, it's nice to hear your voice and, you know, it's been a week and stuff. And so, you know, glad to, you know, just know you're good and all is well. And when are you going out of the country?
I'll be leaving the second week in January. Looking forward to it. It's going to be an interesting journey as an ambassador of all things. It's amazing.
Wow.
But, you know, we all do our part. We all are ambassadors of sorts.
We
are teachers and learners and students. And it's good to know that you can put your best foot forward and be recognized by those qualities. Yeah. Which is a nice way of ushering in humility, because these things, sometimes life has a way of humbling you and keeping you, if you utilize humility, I should say, things, it's like oil to a machine. It keeps you lubricated. Without humility, you have no personal lubrication to get you through the rough edges of life. We need a little humility, and it just works. You know, it's good quality to develop.
Yes, absolutely. So let me just read the question here. It is humility a virtue, or is it a sign of low self-esteem?
It's interesting. It's interesting that it could be phrased that way. It just shows you, I think Prince said it better than I, it's the sign of the times. I think certain words generationally sometimes get swept under the rug. As you know, in our generation, you better have had humility, better not have come into an adult conversation and even speak. Better humble yourself and go to the kitchen or go outside or get busy doing something, but you better not stand around adults. But
yes,
generationally, I think in the times we're living, I've been out a few times with my buddy to sports bars and restaurants, and I noticed that young people here are very aggressive. We literally went to be seated at a restaurant. It was a very attractive young lady. I mean, she was young enough to be my daughter. But she ushered us to the table. She sat down and said, oh, you're some handsome-looking men, and, oh, I'm going to spend some time with you guys. I couldn't believe it. I never had a waitress ever do that. Mm. You know, she just, like, stepped over the boundaries. And so I think to answer the question that you posed, this generation may look at humility as a sign of weakness, or you're a punk. Like, why are you acting that way? You know, you're supposed to take charge and be assertive. I don't think she would have taken to humility in a very positive way. She liked being forward and aggressive. And I just think it's a sign of the times. It's different. We're in the Instagram stage, you know. People are lacking. And it's not that it's a bad thing. I don't want to come across that I'm scolding in any way. It's just the difference of perception. You know, what comes to mind is perception is everything. You know, some people may see humility as a great thing. Others, young kids, might see it as a negative thing. Depends on your vantage point. So let's talk about it a little bit if we can.
Okay, so is the fact that the young lady a little aggressive, is that a negative or is it a positive?
I think she was just being herself. I mean, she was a pretty girl. She made it known that she's pretty. She literally said, I'm pretty and I can get away with this. And I said, well, you are pretty and you can. I mean, as an older person, I was taken aback. Let's frame it that way.
Right.
She was just being very aggressive and she was being a boss lady and expressing exactly how she felt. And no, it's not a bad thing. It's just, it depends where you're coming from generationally, I think. It depends on your perception. But in lieu of our discussion, the pendulum can swing either way. It just depends on the company you're in. I think that's what becomes the litmus test. That's what becomes the deciding factor. You know, young people today have less boundaries than we've had. You know, we were more constrained. We were more conservative. We live in an age of body piercings, tattoos, free speech, open expression. Humility doesn't really have a lot of room to wiggle in that.
Does humility have the role of being quiet in a situation like that, like not being judgmental? Is that, you know, like if that, yeah, because for me, that's like my, when I'm, you said she's at the age of your child, so it's the same for me. And so when I'm looking at her, when I'm listening to the story, I'm thinking about, I'm looking at my daughter acting like that at work, and I'm thinking, so am I, do I just keep that and just go like, you know, okay, it's just a moment, it's just who she is, let it be, enjoy it for whatever it is, and keep on moving, or do you, you know, get frustrated?
Well, Wardell, we are, aside from ministers, we are musicians. And so we exercise and exude flexibility. We have to. It's like you playing a beautiful drum passage, and the band leader decides
like
to go off into a band member decides to go off into a vamp. Are you just going to remain rigid, or are you going to get tasty with the licks and show that you can participate in the vamp in a harmonious way, not to take over, but to participate in the new direction given?
I like that analogy.
Yeah, we're dealing with a total different chemistry today. It's not bad or good. It's just a question of, how do you regulate and how do you change with the music? Do you resist it? Do you ensue or persist in your framework of reference and say, hey, that's not being humble? Or do you take it as a teaching moment where you learn and perhaps she learns?
Yes.
You know, do you compliment her and yet
yes.
put on a little bit of the brakes? You know, in other words, do you show constraint? I know for me, you know, I'm newly divorced, so every woman is beautiful to me now. Just, you know, I have the opposite effect. You know, most guys would, I guess, recoil like a turtle in a shell. No, I have this new sense of, a renewed sense of renaissance. I mean, everybody is beautiful to
well,
me now because well, I appreciate
well,
it.
You know,
but that humbles
a...
me.
There's a thing that people say a lot, and that is that beauty gets away. Like she said, I'm beautiful, I can get away with it. That beauty gets away
right.
with a lot of things that, you know, not so beautiful. Yeah, gets away with it. So, wow, I like what you said though, because it's better to first. To do this, you have to humble yourself. It's to just humble yourself, enjoy the moment of this person deciding to do a solo out of nowhere, and let them go where they may go, and maybe you might see beauty in it. Maybe you might see something wonderful in it.
You know,
right? And compliment it. But when you make that compliment to that individual, you have now opened the gate of communication that they're comfortable
Absolutely.
With, right? And then you can get into the teaching moment. But
if you resist it,
right?
Yeah, you create
a wall. You put a wall up.
Yeah.
Right. They're not going to share with you because they.
I mean,
like,
we definitely
you know.
Went with the flow. I mean, the girl was super attractive. I mean, she possessed every quality that any woman would be happy to possess. She was young. Her skin was gorgeous. She just, you know, she had the Coke bottle figure. She had the gift of gab, like some of us older folk might say. Her vernacular was today's vernacular. You know, it was almost like sitting there with Nicki Minaj, and she was just going with the sign of the times.
I mean,
and
I
none
gotta
of
tell
us resisted.
You,
we smiled, huh?
I got to tell you that what's the other girl, the little light skinned, beautiful girl, singer around the same as Nicki Minaj? Did she? Man, I think it starts with an A. But she
not
was
not Cardi B.
No. She was at this it was funeral for Whitney Houston. It was Whitney Houston's funeral, and she was singing, and she went up on the stage on the pulpit.
Ariana Grande.
Yes, and she went up there, and she looked extremely gorgeous. But you got the preachers, you got the presidents sitting there. You got government officials all sitting there, and she walks up in front of them extremely gorgeous, and you see them look at each other like, oh, whoa, this girl is so gorgeous. And she's got these little clothes on, you know, I don't think she was dressed appropriately for a funeral, but she was being herself, and it was just like one of those moments where you just had to like go, well, I think I just need to keep my mouth closed.
I think one of the interesting things about that in tandem to our discussion is flexibility. You know, being humble is not for the old or for the young. It's for anybody to change the pitch and the pace of the music, so to speak, and jump into the ebb and flow of what it is. When somebody's expressing themselves, it's to me, non-complimentary to judge them, because as the Christ said, judge and you'll be judged also. And so you got to be willing to change the tone. You have to be willing to accept sometimes the unexpected and go with the flow. And like you said, once you break the wall down, you know, you might share with her, wow, you know, I have a daughter your age, and you know, teach me to understand this new communication. Teach me to understand, you know, what's your frame of reference? Because we're older gentlemen, you know, we're appreciating your youth. But in the same token, I'm called a rock star, but I was taken aback. I found myself mesmerized because I was like, wow, I never had a waitress take on. I mean, she literally sat down like, I'm going to sit down and have a meal with you guys because you guys are handsome, and hey, I'm beautiful, and hey, this is what it is.
And I can get away with it.
Okay.
Hey,
I can get away with it.
Right. All right. So listen, this is the question. Is modesty the same as humility, or does humility go deeper?
I think humility goes a little deeper than being modest, because to be humble, you can be attractive, you can be all that you want to be, but I think to be humble tempers you. You know, I think, you know, in a world that we live today, and as much as she was being who she is, I felt personally for me that I had to exercise restraint. Because, first of all, I'm a lot older than she is, given the set of circumstance. I complimented her beauty. I was taken aback. But being humble helps me put on the brakes, and for me personally, to adapt to the situation, but function in a way that is that's age appropriate for me. I wasn't going to try to act like I was her age. You know, I wasn't trying to act like I'm going to judge her. I was absolutely floored, actually. But humility helped me to pump my brakes. Because we had a few drinks. I could have said things off color. But being humble says, wait a second. Let me evaluate the situation and just pump the brakes a little bit. Because I didn't want to get off color with her. You know? So I didn't have to participate at the same level that she was. That's all.
Okay, another question. In modern society, have we replaced humility for self-revelation, and is public recognition the highest aspiration? Should I read it again?
I understand. What's interesting about that, we're living in a self-imposed, self-awareness world. Remember years ago, there was this commercial, they talked about Virginia Slims, and they would roll back from the early 1900s when women couldn't smoke, and then they moved up to the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, where women became more aware of themselves. You know, it's it showed a progression.
Yes. I just want to...
You understand what I'm saying?
Huh? Yeah, I want to just share with the ones that don't know Virginia Slims. It was a cigarette that... but it was a slim cigarette, very slim, meaning that it was more lady size.
More geared towards the female. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the music... the lyric was, "You come a long way, baby, to get what you got today. You got your own cigarette now, baby. You come a long, long ways."
the reason I brought that up was that it was not the social mores of the time was that women did not have the rights to smoke, and what it did, it showed. And I'm not promoting cigarettes or not promoting cigarettes, but what it showed is that people had a change in their perception, and women came of age. And I think, you know, to add to the discussion, that women today have come of age. You know, they dress not only for men, but they dress for themselves. There's a self-awareness. There's a lot of women that I see on social sites. 90% of them are at the gym as soon as they get off from work. They are conscious of themselves. And it's not, what I'm starting to learn is, it really doesn't always have anything to do with us as menfolk. It has to do with their level of wanting to be at their personal best. And sometimes men, young men, sometimes are guilty of not understanding that concept. And so once again, some of these social mores, like we're talking about humility, we're talking about modesty, has to be looked at a little differently than we have in the past. Because I think most people are awakened, like they use the expression being awoke, being in the times that we're living in, not in the past tense. And so there's a certain amount of readjustment, you might say, that all of us have to acquire. And I think that's where humility comes in. It's not necessarily in the generic sense, but it's in the sense of pumping the brakes, understanding what's appropriate at that given time or not. Because she could be as beautiful as she wants to be, but if a man in 2022 at a social event, if I got underway and got too carried away, I could be carried out of that establishment and maybe in the back of a police car if I got ridiculous with her. In other words, if I decided, well, I'm going to be myself too. No, you can't. And that's why establishments are structured the way they are. That's why I noticed in every place we went to, there was security here in Texas. I mean, armed security. And I think that's the changing of the times, that people have to adapt and apply sometimes just common sense above and beyond humility to know when to pump the brakes and when not to.
Pump the brakes. Okay. All right. Question. Another question from the listeners. This is a deeper question now. What about humility in religion and race? Some believe that a person will not be saved unless they are unless he devotes his life to the Lord. And one race claims a superiority over another, and they think they are superior because of their beliefs or the color, or you know, the color.
I actually like that commentary, because if you notice, I always pepper my discussion with those who are spiritually. I don't think it's necessary, important, or is it valued to persist to make someone where you're at spiritually at that station. In other words, I think, you know, we used to call it being holier than thou. I think people get turned off to faith because they feel that they're being judged by someone who is spiritual. And I try my level-headed best never to make someone feel that way, because I wasn't always a spiritual person. And I didn't always appreciate when somebody shoved their faith down my throat with not allowing me to grow and to mature. And personally, I think as a Christian, Jesus didn't support it, because he said, judge and you'll be judged also. You know, I always talk about the temple prostitute that reclined with Jesus. All of his disciples were mad. They didn't like it. But Jesus allowed her and prepared a place for her, because he took her for, I mean, some said it's the oldest profession. So Jesus was not out of step with the changing times. Are we? No, we never want to make someone feel belittled because we've arrived at a certain station in life. We should be a helper. Our words should be a healing. We should be cognizant that everybody has the right to understand or lack of understand a situation. We have to be careful with that, because I don't believe in my faith as a Christian that that's the Christian way. I never felt good when people did that to me, and I hope I'm never guilty of doing that to somebody else. It's not kind. It is personally how I feel.
Well said, well said. All right, so let's get into the second half of our show here. That was, I have so much respect for you. Thank you for breaking that down, brother. That was good. That was really good. No good deeds go unpunished. Have you ever had someone do a good deed and have it turn back and backfire on you? Have you ever?
All day long. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time that happened to me, I'd be Rockefeller. And you know, my takeaway is, don't set yourself up for disappointment. You know, you don't always look for somebody to reciprocate or act according to what you prescribed. In other words, I might go out of my way to do a good deed, and it's because I have a predetermined plan on how that person should respond, that I set myself up for disappointment. And I had to learn that the hard way, especially in relationships. You know, you go out your way, you know, you clean up the dishes and you put everything up, and then your mate comes in and said, who told you to put those plates there? They don't belong there. You should have put it. And you're like, what? I tried to do a good deed and you're scolding me? Like, forget you. And before you know it, you're in a mix. That's just an offshoot. Quick thought process on that, but no, we can't regulate how somebody is going to respond. And if you do, I believe you set yourself up for disappointment. And I've experienced that firsthand.
Yes, yes, that's something else. I had to do something. Well, actually, I needed help. One of my houses, the hot water tank went out. And so, cousin's husband heard talking to her about it. And then he, interjected and said, hey, Wardell, need some help? And I said, James said he was going to come over. And he was like, okay, well, you know, if you need some help, let me know. I'm right here. And so then so the next day came and I called him. I said, hey, I said, Joe, you still want to help me? And he said, yeah. I was, yeah, I'd love to. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go down there tomorrow, which was Monday. And he says, okay, yeah, just call me and then, you know, and we'll go. And he says, we'll just take my truck. And I was like, well, we don't have to take your truck because I could just put the thing in. He says, I think it has to stand up. I don't think you could lay it down. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I said, okay. So I drove over to his house and then he lived around the corner from me. And then we went out to pick up the hot water heater. And, you know, he did all kind of research and everything. And so finally we found the right one for my house. And then we put it in the back of his truck. And then he took me into another place because my brother needed something. So we went there. It was only around the corner. We got that for him from Home Depot. And then I took him out to lunch, you know, say thank you, how much I appreciate it. And then I thought we were going to just go back to his house. And then I was going to just take it over to my house. And then he said, no. See, we'll stop at my house to pick up your car, but I'll take it over there and I'll put it in for you. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And so he did do that. And he says, you know, as far as your topic on your show tomorrow, he says, you shouldn't think about if it's going to turn bad. You should only think about doing the good and not worry about if something's going to go bad later or not. He says, because if that's the case, you would never want to do anything good because you think something bad is going to happen. So he says, I just do like I'm doing for you right now. I just do it because it's the right thing to do. And God put it on my heart to be there for you. And so I'm doing that. And I'll let God worry about if somebody wants to hurt me because of it. And so, you know, I just think that, you know, that's how we have to move, period. Like, you just cannot let what you think might happen control what you're supposed to do, you know, or where you're going. Well, your thoughts?
Yeah, it sets you up. It sets you up for disappointment. I think the key word is to reciprocate or to do without a preconceived notion of what you think the other person is going to do. Because when you do that, as mentioned, you really set yourself up for disaster. And I'm not going to lie to the audience and say it doesn't hurt, because it does. We're only human. And there's a natural inclination when you do a good deed. There's a natural inclination when you do a good deed, you just want to be appreciated, you know. Whether it's a coworker, it's a loved one, it's a child, I went out of my way and I got you this scarf or this dress or this jacket or whatever, set of tires. I did this out of the goodness of my heart and I'm expecting you to appreciate it. But, you know, if the person doesn't, we have to let it roll off our back. They said like water off a duck's butt. We got to let it go. Because they are entitled to their own way of dealing with it. And sometimes I've dealt with people that don't really accept. My ex-wife was that way. She did not accept compliments. I don't know what happened in her life. I don't know. She had a series of negative experiences. But every time I would compliment her, she would react adversely, and I couldn't understand it. Now, looking back retrospectively, I understand it. But then it used to hurt me because I was expecting her to reciprocate. Hey, honey, you look beautiful. Or sometimes I've even, in recent times, someone will say, oh, you just flatter me. You just say what you think women want to hear you say. And I have to jump into a teaching moment and say, flattery is a form of lying. And I hope you're not accusing me of lying if I say something complimentary, because I mean that. But it's like the proverbial woman, the dress keeper at a store, and a woman comes in to try a dress on, and she knows the dress looks hideous on this woman. but she's just trying to make a sale. And so the woman says, the dress keeper says, oh, that dress is you. Oh, it looks gorgeous. Knowing full well, in her mind, the dress looks hideous. See, that is an extreme form of flattery that is harmful. Because she's going to let that woman walk out the store knowing that that dress is not a good fit for her only because she wants to make a sale. I would never do that to anyone. I would never deceive them with flattery because it's a form of lying. Just a thought.
Very good. Question for you. If we believe that evil deeds are punished by divine if we believe that evil deeds are punished by divine intervention and good deeds are rewarded by divine intervention, how do we deal with that?
Well, first of all, I don't believe, you know, there's a very specific scripture that says, out of evil things, God does not try man. So that would be misapplied. The Creator, in my limited capacity, never tries men with evil things. If it's something evil, it has nothing to do with God, because God is, I mean, even in a generic sense, most people know God is love. Love,
right.
Agape, is the ultimate personality trait of the Most High God. He's love personified. So just like a mother would never do anything to hurt her child, she might chastise them, she might instruct them, but she would never try her child with an evil thing. And that's a mother, and we're all imperfect humans. So if
right.
a mother wouldn't do that to a child, how much more so would our Heavenly Father not do that? So I would have to say a negative on that one, and I would have to say that, you know, we just have to be careful who's serving us the dish. Is it a friend? Is it an enemy? Is it a enemy disguised as a friend? You know, these are the times to be very diligent. Yeah, you got to be careful today. I learned
right
that
there.
In my mature life, I've learned it the hard way, that people that I thought were my friends or my buddies that supported me, that's one of the reasons I came to Texas. I realized that, guess what? They were not fans of mine. They were not buddies of mine. And they did not support the positive things. And I had to change a circle of friends, because I realized that they were into it for ulterior motives, and they weren't good ones. And I recently learned that as a mature man. I'm supposed to be wise. I'm not that wise.
It's all good. I just want people to, you know, a Conrad is an individual that will appear to be like a friend. But really, they're not your friend. There's someone that's interested in what you're interested in, but
that's
not interested
right.
in you, but not interested in you as a person. And so they
right.
will, like, if, for instance, as a musician, somebody would like Phoenix as a musician, but not necessarily do he like Phoenix, but Phoenix may have some connections that he needs.
Right.
And so he's going to hang out close to try to get those connections.
You're spot on with that one, brother.
And then the Conrad will turn around and then go and steal the connection and not give Phoenix any credit for it. See, that's somebody that's not in your corner, but they will appear to be in your corner. So you
have ulterior motives.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, 100%. You know, being good-natured, I've been in the company, mixed company, with the female persuasion, and I'm thinking that we're just good friends. But they have a love interest that you're not returning because you don't see them like that. Maybe they're just not your type. Maybe, you know, I'm very selective who I associate with. I try to associate with positive people. As you know, I don't use volatile speech. I tried to, as the scripture says, let your words be seasoned with salt. I really work hard at that. And so if I'm with somebody that's negative, or even in my company, speaking negatively about someone else, I might give them a pass or two or three or four, but eventually if this becomes a pattern of speech, I'll shy away, because I don't want to be into a situation where there's negative inference and drama. And so my mother used to say, pick and choose your friends wisely, because they do, you know, speaking of mama again, she used to say, you can't play with pigs in the mud and stay clean with a white suit on. If you're going to roll in the dirt, you're going to get dirty. And if you're going to be around people that are going to throw around negative inferences or talk negative about different people or different cultures for no apparent reason, then you have to take your leave, in my humble opinion, because just like they're talking about that person, they're going to talk about you. Amen. And these are life's lessons that sometimes you learn as you get older. You know, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. You know, right. Birds of a feather flock together. They all come to the same mental space. You have to choose your friends wisely. Because if you don't, you become an accomplice to whatever indiscretions that they do. You know, there's no getting around. You're hanging out with bank robbers. They say, hey, can you park in front of Main and First Street? And you know that's the First National Bank. You see them go in. They pull out a scully. What do you think they're doing? Then they run back to the car and they say, go, go, go. When the cops stop, there's no way you're going to be able to say, you didn't know your friends were bank robbers. Now, that sounds kind of comical, but there's a teaching point. If you are in the company of wrongdoers, then you're no better than the company you keep. So choose wisely decisions in life. Well, it's important.
Okay. This one is from Greg. Isn't it also unhealthy to do someone a good deed and expect to be rewarded?
Yes.
It's so unhealthy. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do it because you expect something. You do it because, you know, your heart tells you, your God tells you, your spirit tells you.
You have to do it with You have to, as the older folk used to say, when you give, you have to give freely. If you do it with the concept that you're going to be rewarded, once again, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Because it just doesn't work that way.
You do it with love.
It just doesn't.
You just do it with love. I mean, just think about this, guys, and I'm not trying to take you to church or anything, but remember when Jesus went after that lost lamb, that one out of 100, he went after one. And when he got to that lamb, he didn't like scream at it and go, you know how much time I lost coming after you? Where have you been? Get up there. He grabbed that lamb, put it around his neck. He celebrated. He was so happy to get that, to find his lamb. And so going, when you do something, do it with love. Don't do it with, you know, this, I hope somebody appreciates this. I hope I get something for doing it. That's just, you know, this is not work. It's not a job. You know, when you're doing something,
I mean,
trying to be kind. Go ahead.
Not to beat a dead horse, but it just doesn't work. You know, you have to, your motives have to be pure. Your motives have to be pure of heart. And if your motives aren't, and sometimes, I know I've done it. I've done certain things in recent times. I had to think about it a couple of days, like, why did I do that? You know, why did I allow myself, you know, we invite sometimes trouble unknowingly. We open the door to trouble unsuspectingly. That wasn't our purpose. But sometimes we do things and we don't really think about all the repercussions. We just think, I'm being a good guy, I'm being a nice guy, et cetera. And then you're inviting trouble. And then when you get a chance to think about it over the course of a few hours or a few days, you say, you know, I should have handled that differently. I should have taken my lead because I kind of knew what was going to happen. I just didn't think it through. And these are lessons of life that you have to, you either embrace, accept, reject, but life has a way of teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad, it has a way of teaching you. So it's better to arrive at it with less issue.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's this guy on the bus, and there's this other guy that's just really harassing this girl and, you know, doing things he shouldn't do to her. And this guy is just looking at her, looking at the girl, how uncomfortable she is. And this other guy is just being really aggressive. He's being a butt, for lack of a better word, just being stupid. And so this guy gets up and just goes, hey, man, you know, why don't you leave her alone? Why don't you just, you know, back off, just leave her alone and stuff. And then all of a sudden they get into a big fight. The guy's just upset that this guy, this nice guy, comes over and rains on his parade. And they start scuffling. And then end up the cops come and the nice guy end up at the hospital with a bloody nose and everything and whatever else happens. And at the end of the day, do he regret that he stood up for that young lady? That he protected her? No, he felt good about it. But, you know, this is that thing that comes with it. Sometimes when you're doing a good deed, bad things may come out of it, you know, because you know that in your heart that you got to protect, you want to protect this lady, and you do it out of your heart, the goodness of your heart to protect her. And you maybe, you know, a Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody and knock the guy out. But you might not. You know, I mean, you'd be a little wimp guy, but your heart is telling you to do the right thing. And you get up there and you get beat up and you hurt. But no regrets, because I did the right thing. I did the right thing. And
there's a word of caution. I have a lot of friends of mine that are in law enforcement. And one of the things that I've learned by being in their company, they say one of the most dangerous calls that they get as peace officers, and that's interesting, peace officers, are when they're called on a domestic dispute where it's a husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, newly invited associate, two consenting adults. And one of the things that he told me is that the first thing that the peace officer needs to ascertain, do you know this person? Are you involved with this person sexually? Is this person your husband? Is it your boyfriend? And there's a very specific reason why they need to know to great detail what the connection is, because quite often, well, for one, it diffuses the issue. Number two, more police officers are hurt over domestic disputes than any other call they receive, because when there's passion and love involved, the woman may call, say, for instance, oh, help me, my husband or my boyfriend is beating me up, oh my God, come quick. The police officer comes and aggressively grabs the boyfriend, and the girlfriend grabs a knife and stabs the officer. Get off of my husband or my boyfriend. It changes so quickly. And I didn't realize it until my buddy, who's a lawyer, he's a state trooper, he told me, he said, man, you got to be very careful when you come in between a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman and a man. You never know until you define what that relationship is, so you can act accordingly. Because I can tell you from experience, you can come in and be the good guy helping what you think you're helping, and before you know it, you're on your way to the hospital bleeding from a knife or a gunshot wound, because the complexion can change so quickly.
Absolutely. Yep. It's a tough decision to jump in, no matter what, whether you're a police officer or just a good civil servant. We got a little less than 10 minutes left. I want to read this last thing as a statement. It says, the devil is doing us a favor, because the more evil he is, the more we love God. And, you know, it is really a sad favor, but we definitely are loving on God. It's just that we just hate to, I just hate to see, you know, people get hurt. And, you know, I'm just thinking of that war between Russia and Ukraine. I mean, so many innocent people are just dying just for whatever that is. And they all they want to do is live. And they're dying. And it's really sad. And so, yeah, there's a lot of evil going on. And I just pray that, you know, God protects us the best he can in this situation. Because people are, so many people are allowing the devil to use them to hurt us and each other, that you just don't even know who's on your side anymore sometimes. It's like real ugly. Like politics. We all supposed to be in the same country, but it seems like we all hate each other. It's like, it's just stupid and dumb and ugly. So in Phoenix, in closing, is there anything that you would like to share in closing?
Well, to use one of your expressions, we have to pay attention. We have to be discerning. You know, discernment is a different level of just practical attention. You know, discernment is weighing and scratching and sniffing like you would at a fruit stand to ascertain which melon or fruit is better or rotten. So you really have to use many tools at your discretion to discern certain things. And we talked about not being overly concerned at the outcome, not putting certain blinders up and have a certain expectation, but to give freely. We have to choose our friends wisely. We have to regulate our level of humility, which may be different from a man or a woman. Don't ever think humility is unisex. It isn't. Not in today's times, it isn't. It's ladies' choice. And that's something that I'd like to underscore to the men of our audience, particularly young men. It's ladies' choice. James Brown said it's a man's world, and I get it, but it's ladies' choice. Women decide, no matter how forward or how hip or how tattooed or body pierced up they are, they're still ladies, and they have a right to choose. And we have to respect that. So we have to use humility in a way that helps us to pump the brakes and not make a decision because, hey, she's acting, you know, a certain way, then I got the license. No, you don't. Not in today's law of the land, because when you get before the judge will clearly tell you your thinking is wrong and you're going to jail, directly to jail. Do not collect $200. Very easy. So you have to be discerning. You have to regulate. You have to be able to look at the situation depending upon your circumstance and act accordingly.
Amen. Sounds good to me, brother. And thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, taking the time out of your day. And that's blessed us with your wisdom and this good deed is a beautiful deed. Thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. All right. So, guys, thank you and Phoenix and listeners. I just want to say thanks to everybody. Thanks to, you know, everybody that to the questions and the thoughts and much love to all you guys. And so we get ready to mix it up here on Soul Eye Records Radio with Don Fleming. Coming up, Phoenix, you have a blessed rest of your day, my brother. And
thank you.
Enjoy your restaurants. I'm going with you next time.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm gonna see you soon. I'm gonna see you soon. I'm gonna try to get with you
sounds
soon.
Good, man. Well, I got a month of just exploring Texas, and I'm not quite in Houston right now. I'm in Katy, Texas. which I understand is a suburb, my buddy told me, of Houston, because Houston annexed, from what I understand, many, municipalities. Just Texas is just very interesting. And for the most part, it's been a great experience. People are really cool here. I love it.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I never thought I would.
All right.
But I do love it. It's kind of weird. It's a strange thing. And I have to say to all the listeners in Phoenix, I don't know much, but I know I love you guys. We'll be back.
Look at this face. I know the years are showing. Look at this life. I still don't know where it's going. I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know.
Look at these eyes, they've never seen what matters. Look at this dream, so big and so better.
I don't know how much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know. Still left unanswered. So much I've never broken through.
And when I feel you near me, sometimes I see so clearly. The only truth I've ever known.
So blessed with inspiration. Look at this soul, still searching for salvation. I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Make the sea
past rain. But there's a lot of things to still be grateful for. Let's make a good situation from the ones we have, and bridge that gap that's standing in the way. A little more imagination to remove the bad and see that magic shine through that haze. Is wearing thin, and defeat is knocking at your door. You just hold the ground now and don't give in, 'cause the battle there to win is yours.
Set your mind
and spirit free. Lay your troubles down and just take five.
Just pull away, that is what you need.
Oh, and just spend a little time. Come and go with me. Crowds, oh, get rid of the disguise and do it now, do it now.
We'll get up and get out of your state of mind.
Come on,
we'll get up, you gotta do it now.
Gotta do it now.
We'll get up and get out of your state of mind.
Come on.
Tony Monreal from the UK putting it down. My. Isn't this just great? Hey, guys. I hope you are good. Don't forget tomorrow. Guess what's happening tomorrow? Uh-oh. It's indie, blues, and all that jazz day here on Full Out Records Radio. We're going to have a good time, a blast, actually. And so come tune in and just kick it with us. It's a wonderful time. Really, I'm telling you, it's meditative time. It's time when you can just chill and relax, and you hear these indie artists that you never heard before, and what you just heard right there with Tony Morrell, and also what you heard earlier with Tiffany Bino was singing a Christmas song, right? And so it's just all these indie artists. You'll hear stuff that you don't get to hear on traditional radio, and then we'll play some blues for you, kind of take you back, you know, those spots. oh, I don't know. It's something about the blues that's so cool, and I love it. So when you get to the blues and then that jazz, the blues and the jazz, they're kind of like in the same family, right? They run side to side. So it's a real chill day on Solar Records Radio from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we just kind of chill out. So have some good music, good company, and maybe some good food. And I'm having Thai food tomorrow, Greg. Thai food, my brother. Don't get jealous. And so I'm going to enjoy my Thai food during my show tomorrow. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful just to be able to do this with you guys and hang out and stuff. So I hope you guys are good. And thanks for tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you and appreciate you so much here. Uh-oh, that's my music in the background. Let's see what we got going on here. That's so funny. That's a group that I had that put together in Los Angeles about 7 years ago. And we were having fun, and then I moved. And they were like, what the heck? What? I go, well, my wife said, we got to go. So, I got to follow the wife. She wanted to come home to Texas, and so we did it, and we love it here, and we're so grateful. But I miss my band, and I enjoy those guys. That was my, I had to have a band that we could do little things around the hood there in Orange County on the beach. And they did. They would come to my house on the beach, and we play for the people, all these retired people, and we play, and everybody's just having a great time, and it was wonderful. And so I love you guys and appreciate you guys. All right, guys, this is a song that I wrote with Richard Randolph, the late Richard Randolph from Dynasty. He and I wrote this song, and I just love you, Richard, and I miss you desperately. Boy.
Baby, and your mind, gonna love you later.
turn my mic up here. I have to say that that song really, I mean, it really takes you there, right? And it took me there just now. I just was really in a beautiful state, a beautiful place, and I just love Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, their music was so great, and it was so dynamic. I mean, they came from a beautiful place musically where it just seemed like they brought all the elements together, earth, wind, and the fire. I mean, you know, Maurice White was amazing. And I just really enjoy what he did with his team when he brought them all together and got them to do what they did for us. And Earth, Wind, and Fire, to me, still should have been bigger than they were. Because they were just crazy good. Their music was often off the hook, I mean. And so much love to you guys. And really appreciate you guys so much. And, you know, we did have the keyboard player from Earth, Wind, and Fire on and had a really good time with him. And just talking about, you know, his walk with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And he's a solo artist now, and you know, he's doing this, an indie artist, and doing his own thing now, but it was just great you know, hanging out with people like man, who am I trying to think of? My brain is slipping real. But Leon would bring these guys to the studio, and we would hang out with them, and or we would go hang out at the studio that they were recording in. Al McKay is what the name I was trying to say. Sorry, Al. And Al's an amazing guitar player from Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I got to hang out with him, go to his house, hang out with him in Hollywood Hills. And it was just a wonderful, you know, introduction for me into the industry, into Hollywood. And I start with Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's like, wow. And that was great. It was wonderful. And I'll never forget that, and I'm so grateful. Thanks, Lee. And anyway, so Lee Silver is my brother from another mother. Anyway, guys, so we're gonna keep this music going. We only got about another 30 minutes left in the show, but you know, I'm just mixing up and playing different things here and there. So I hope you guys are good and all is well with you. You know, I ordered something from Amazon, and I got it about about a month and a half ago. I received it, and it was kind of expensive, and I was so grateful to get it, and I put it up. It was, you know, one of those fireplaces, this beautiful fireplace, and you know, you put it in the wall and stuff, and it's gorgeous, and I have it set, you know, to run, you know, all night, and it's just nice to wake up and see this thing. Well, I just went outside and I got another one. The same exact thing. They sent it to me twice. So, you know, I just put it in the back of the car because it's heavy. And so I'm going to call them, I guess, and say, you guys sent me the same thing twice. Hey, man, I wonder how often they do that. What's going on over there? Jeez. Anyway. All right, guys. Well, anyway, let's get back to the music. This is Wardell Pastrini for Solar Records Radio. We love, love, love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in and being the best part of Solar Records Radio.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Baby, my heart could still fall out.
thinking out loud. Maybe we found love right where we are.
When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name, when my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow.
Take you on my next trip. When I pull up, I'ma slide like this. Do your two-step, I do mine like this. AP your wrist, girl, ain't no better time than this. G5, it ain't no flyer than this. Crocodile Birkin, I did it for Steve Irwin. Whatever it takes to get you back, girl, I put the work in just.
Let me know where you wanna go. Make the leave of reality. Don't slide on me, baby, it's real as you're feeling me. Now you feel it, the energy.
And
that that pussy still mine, is it all me? And you never give it up to one of my colleagues. We should go to Bali, after that to Bali. You said if it's real, then I give you these house keys. Yeah, and make this house for the homies. I know you like diamonds and roses. Tell me what your goal is. I'ma make sure you never know what it's going to be. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Make up for the time I miss. you come around, I can't help myself. Those things you do got me addicted, and I don't want no help. Your way is really fresh and lovely. May I have a taste of your sweet love? The more you give, the more I want, be. I just can't get enough. I only see you wearing nothing, baby. You take me to a very special place. Inside of your love, baby. There is strength in so much more. Garden, sample all your love and sweet. And that's the reason we came here, baby, to fulfill each other's needs. The way you ride my love in motion, that magic moment will be found. It will be. Into your music, I love the way you sound.
Love the way you sound,
yeah. Don't be shy, that's just nature, baby. That's the way you love when you feel free. Oh, keep on loving me, I can take it, girl. I can take it. You are my favorite place to be.
when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself. Express yourself.
Shaking my head back and forth, sitting in this seat. And listen, guys, thank you again for a blessed day. Really enjoyed doing this with you guys. I hope you are, you know, good. And I know y'all getting ready for the season, right? Y'all doing your thing with your family and getting all that stuff together. People going out and doing what they got to do, preparing for this wonderful giving season. And so, with that being said, you guys, just be safe, be careful, be optimistic, trust God, and lean on His word and not worry about things that haven't happened yet. Let's just walk in peace and in love and in joy and be a blessing that you're supposed to be. Be that blessing, okay? Go out and do your thing. It's all good. God's got you. Don't worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing. All right. Enjoy Christmas, guys. This is when Christ was born, our Creator. Just have a good time and don't let anybody rain on your parade, even if they want to. They don't have the right. All right. I know we are sensitive in our feelings and stuff, but, you know, sometimes we just got to buckle up and trust God that He's got it. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be good. So, with that being said, thank you again for tuning in. Love you. And just pray that you have a great rest of your evening. Thanks for being the best part of Solar Records Radio and tuning in, hanging out with me, Wardell Potts Jr., and Phoenix on the first half of the show. Appreciate it. All right, guys. Well, good night. God bless. Take care, and I'm going to play this song to Greg. because he pulled the charts out on this one. So much love. God bless you guys. And we'll see you later.
Thanks, babe.
Tonight.
measure.